Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to a quick and fun travel escape? Enjoy public art outside, or outsider art inside, and refresh your sense of history with awe-inspiring parks and museums. Vicksburg is the key to the South.
We were able to get a spring preview this week with the Georgia Bulldogs. Ben Wolk joins us from Dogs 24/7. And Georgia's a team that there's a theme in college football this year, and that's highly ranked teams with inexperienced quarterbacks. Ohio State, Michigan, Texas, Georgia is certainly one of them. We've seen about, what, six full quarters of Gunnar Stockton. Tough kid. I think there's the talent's there. There's certainly talent around him. What are your expectations for him in year one, and what do you want to see from him this spring?
Well, you're exactly right. Like, we don't know exactly what to make of Gunnar Stockton at this point in time. We haven't seen nearly enough of him, and that's in contrast to a Georgia coaching staff that now has had him in the system for three full years, and he knows this offense inside and out. And so it's a fascinating juxtaposition between what the general public knows about Gunnar Stockton and what this Georgia coaching staff and the football program in general knows about him. And so, you know, he is the starting quarterback. I do not really view this as, I don't know how Georgia is communicating it, exactly how they're describing it within their building or outside of the building, but Gunnar Stockton will be the starting quarterback in 2025, and Georgia is very much approaching it that way. And there's a level of belief in Gunnar Stockton within the walls in Buttsmere Athletic Facility. And so I think there is a reason why they feel that way. I think experience within the program, despite there not being a lot of experience on the field in game action, I think that they believe very firmly in him with that. I also think the perimeter talent upgrade that Georgia is seeing year over year at the wide receiver position, whether that be the incoming freshman class from the 2025 cycle or the two big time transfers that they brought in through the portal, I think they feel there's such a talent upgrade at wide receiver that will coexist well with what Gunnar Stockton does well, which I think is getting the ball out quick. And he has, I will say, if there's one area of his game talent-wise that I feel strongly about, it is his deep ball. And I think that he throws a very accurate, explosive deep ball, and I think they put the right receivers around him to be able to do that this season.
It's so interesting looking at Georgia's depth chart. I use this website, Our Lads. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great tool for fans if you want to get an idea about teams. And you normally, when you look at that, you know, there's TR by almost everybody. Not at Georgia. Not at Georgia. There's so few. But you mentioned those two receivers, Noah Thomas from Texas A&M, Zachariah Branch from USC. Those are explosive playmakers. And Georgia was kind of lacking that a season ago. How quickly can they get integrated into what Georgia wants to do offensively?
Well, I think that's the big question for how successful this Georgia offense is this season, because if Noah Thomas and Zachariah Branch work their way into the rotation and are those wide receiver one types, the big, you know, Noah, and they're different types of receivers, like Noah Thomas, 6'6", big body, run after the catch, Zachariah Branch, you know, one of the smallest receivers Georgia is going to have this season, but out of this world explosive. I expect both of them to be heavily involved this season. There's a reason that they brought them in. And quite frankly, when Georgia brought James Coley back to be the wide receivers coach, like, it was with the mission of overhauling the entire wide receiver room. I think they realized that was an area that they just needed a complete roster change. And last year, you felt a lot of that because there weren't many explosive wide receivers. There weren't a lot of guys getting open on a regular basis. And the one who could was Arian Smith, and he had one of the highest drop rates in the country. And I think that I don't even fault Arian for that. I think that he was open more than any other receiver that Georgia had, and they had no other choice to get him the ball. And I think that some of his limitations were exploited through some of that. But I think, look, this is a completely different wide receiver group. The top receiver, other than Dylan Bell, every wide receiver that you're going to see making an impact for Georgia this season will be a new face. I think a lot of that will be from the freshman group. And then I think that both of those transfers, Noah Thomas and Zachariah Branch, are going to be asked to be two of the top receivers on the team this season.
I have no idea if he'll be any good or not, but I'm pulling for Nitro Tuggle just because that name is unbelievable. Is he good? Tell me he's good.
Yeah, oh, he's good. And he's another one where him and Zakovy White were the only two wide receivers that they brought in the 2024 cycle. And just because of where they fall with having some experience over these freshmen that just came in, they have a little bit of an inside track to get early reps compared to that 2025 class. And so I think Nitro Tuggle and Zakovy White are two names that don't get mentioned enough when it comes to Georgia wide receivers, just because of all the talk about the freshmen and the transfers.
When I think Georgia, we talk about receivers, but when I think Georgia, obviously, I think about running backs. You know, it's such a great tradition there. Nate Frazier was good last year for Georgia, but he wasn't that typical, you know, Georgia 1,000-plus yard running back. So I assume there's some competition at that spot. What does the backfield look like for Georgia?
It's been a weird couple of years for Georgia. I mean, to your point, you think of Georgia, you think run the football, you think running backs, and quite frankly, they haven't been that identity the last two seasons. I mean, last year they were in the bottom quarter of the league when it came to rushing the football, and it kind of came out of nowhere. It was sort of hard to explain because you look at the NFL draft this year, and there's probably going to be four guys from Georgia's offensive line last season that are going to get drafted, and they're having to replace all of that. With all of those snaps up front on the offensive line, you lose Trevor Etienne, who never quite was able to, statistically produce the way that he probably would have expected to when he got to Georgia. Like you said, Nate Frazier is going, I mean, I think he spoke to the media what I believe is the first time last night, like as we're talking about this, it was last night, and it just shows that he's the most experienced guy in that room, and he's never even been through a spring practice at Georgia before. And so there just isn't a lot of proof in the pudding when it comes to Georgia's running backs. I mean, Branson Robinson has been hurt just about ever since he got to Georgia. Roderick Robinson was banged up all last season. You've got Bo Walker that's coming in as an incoming freshman, but again, he's a freshman. We don't really know how much you can really expect there. I think that Nate Frazier is going to have to carry the workload there, and he's explosive and he brings a juice and an energy even off the field that I think will work well for Georgia. But I think Chauncey Bowens is another guy that came in that 2025 class. And then you've got Dwight Phillips, who undersized at running back, but true track speed, son of two Olympians. So he has some genetic pedigree that other guys just aren't going to be able to have. I mean, he ran a legit sub 10.2 in the 100 in high school. And so he can really move. And so I don't think that Georgia has a clear answer yet on what running back's going to look like beyond Nate Frazier, but somebody's going to have to step up there this spring.
Defensively, you can't ever have worries with Georgia. They recruit at an elite level, and they have Kirby Smart, one of the best defensive minds. Glenn Schumann, great coaches there on that side of the ball. Are there any new faces on this defense we should keep an eye on?
Well, Georgia's had the luxury of the last few seasons of having Malachi Starks there at safety. And so I think that you don't know who that is going to be necessarily that lines up next to KJ Bolden. I talk about this all the time. Where would Georgia be if KJ Bolden had not flipped from Florida State to Georgia on signing day? Because he stepped into a crucial role as a true freshman at safety, and now he's really the veteran of that defensive backfield along with Dalen Everett. There's just not a lot of experience there in the secondary. Georgia brought in three guys via the transfer portal at safety: Adrian Maddox from UAB, Jaden Harris from Miami, and then Zion Branch, who's the older brother of Zachariah Branch. And so it's clear Georgia feels like it needed to either add depth or find some experience or talent or something there at safety. That's a storyline that I'm really watching this spring, is who emerges as the primary safety next to KJ Bolden, in their base sets. I think you can't talk about Georgia defenses without talking about the defensive line. We've seen what they've done in terms of year-over-year production there, and they're losing a couple guys that they have not had, that have a lot of experience. I mean, Warren Brinson, Naz Stackhouse, Mikel Williams. I mean, not a defensive lineman, but somebody who contributed heavily to the pass rush, Jalen Walker. They're losing a lot of that. So who's it going to be that steps up? You never have to worry about Georgia's linebacker room. I worry a little bit about the depth that Georgia has on the defensive line right now. I think that they've got about 11 scholarship guys along that defensive line, which is just thinner than they're accustomed to having in the trenches. I think that's going to require you to have some freshmen step up. Everybody's heard about the buzz on five-star freshman Elijah Griffin, and I really do think he is next up when you're talking about great Georgia defensive linemen. I think it's a big spring for him to just establish himself as a true part of that Georgia defensive line rotation.
Not a lot of transfers, and the ones that are big ones we've kind of hit on. Is there somebody we haven't mentioned, a new face you're looking forward to seeing this spring?
For me, and it's at a position group that we've talked about, but I just think the wide receivers at the fresh, there are two, really three freshmen, Landon Roldan, Talon Taylor, who probably had the highest recruiting profile of the group, and then CJ Wiley. All three of them are really ready to play college football right now, and I think that they're more ready than most incoming Georgia freshmen have had, Georgia wide receivers Georgia has had. So I'm curious to see who ends up really breaking into that rotation. It's tough just because you've got Dylan Bell coming back. You've got the two transfers that we've talked about already, but one of these freshmen at the very least is going to play meaningful minutes for Georgia this fall. And it could be more than just one of them, but I do expect at least one of them to be able to do that.
Outside of just position stuff, when we think about this spring and what Georgia's season was a season ago, what they want to be this year, they want to be national champions again. What's the question that Georgia needs to have answered by the time we get to Labor Day weekend?
Well, I think what they struggled with most in the key moments last season was protection up front and running the football. And so I think it starts and ends with the offensive line. And, you know, a guy that I probably could have mentioned as a new face that I didn't, he's an incoming freshman, Juan Gaston. I mean, he's one of these behemoths that Georgia recruits on the offensive line, 6'8". He measured in at 380 plus pounds. Georgia's trying to get him down sub 350 to really feel like he's ready to play. And I know he's working very hard at that, but he's someone that I think he has that legit NFL left tackle upside that could get him into the offensive line rotation sooner rather than later. But, you know, they're losing Jared Wilson, who was one of the best centers in the country last season. Tate Ratledge, you know, they're losing Xavier Truss, who played a lot of snaps for them. Dylan Fairchild, who might have been the meanest, most physical offensive lineman that they had last season. So they're having to replace a lot of that. Kirby Smart just talked yesterday about you're losing a lot, but because of how they've rotated offensive linemen in the past, they have players like Drew Bobo, like Micah Morris, like Monroe Freeling, like Ernest Green. Like, it doesn't feel like you're replacing four offensive linemen, but I think it's just a matter of figuring out what the right rotation is, because Georgia, whether that be the fan base or the coaching staff, is not going to live in a world where they are one of the bottom three teams running the football again. Like, that is just unacceptable in the Georgia world. So how do they figure out how to run the football with a young, thin running back room and an offensive lineman that has a lot of questions about who's going to be asked to step up?
All right, we're wrapping up every interview with the same question, and that's this. It's March 19th today as we're recording. If I come back to you December 19th, your college football playoff should be starting by then. What are we saying about this Georgia football team?
It's a great question. I mean, I think we're probably saying that this is another Georgia football team that made the playoff. I think that the talent level is there. Despite it being another challenging schedule, I think they're catching a lot of the most difficult teams on their schedule at home this season, whereas last season they were having to go on the road for most of those difficult matchups. I think that we're sitting here probably asking some of the same questions, though, that you've been asking me here is like, what is Gunnar St like? What can you expect from Gunnar Stockton here down the stretch in the college football playoff? This offensive line, why are they not quite protecting the way that they need to or running the football the way that they need to? Like, I think a lot of the questions that we're talking about right now are still going to be questions that we're going to have about this Georgia football team, because, I mean, look, they're over under. I think this year win total is 9.5. Last year it was 10.5. It's another challenging schedule for Georgia. I don't think that we live in a world now where we can expect Georgia to just go run through the SEC, go 12-0. Like, I think that those days of Georgia's roster dominance is probably behind us. Not to slight what this Georgia football program is capable of, I just think that there are some landmines on the schedule that are more possible than there were in 21 and 2022. And so, you know, if we're sitting here 10-2 in December, and Georgia still has, you know, a lot of questions at the quarterback position or along the offensive line, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Georgia Bulldogs will be here in Starkville. I think that's in October. I'll have to double. I haven't committed the schedule to memory yet. I don't know if you
I
have
know, I'm the
either.
same way.
I'm still in basketball. We got baseball. It's just too much right now. Ben Wolk, 24/7 Sports Talk, 24/7, man. Really appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again as the season gets closer.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.